thank everybody for coming this morning, this afternoon. It's around 1:30, and it's on December 3rd. We're going to be looking at, in the book People of Color in the Bible, we're going to start off with chapter 1 this morning. We'll begin with a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we thank thee for your mercy and grace that you have granted to us as we are live another day, another weekend, another seventh day of the week, that you have promised to come to us and meet with us so that we might be able to understand your will and your way for the days that we live in. We just ask for your Holy Spirit, give us comprehension, clarity, and understanding of your word so that we might be able to perceive what you have for us. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to start off here in chapter 1, Adam and the Garden of Eden. Okay, in this particular chapter, we want to try to understand who was Adam and Eve. That's one of the goals. The other goal is after we are able to define who Adam and Eve is and who would they be today if we refer to them today, what group of people. And then we will go into spending time where Adam and Eve were placed on the planet and what bearings is that of where we are on the planet today, because so many different names have been changed. And what we would like to do is be able to make sure that we understand the names that have been changed, the changes that have gone on, so that we might be able to make correct decisions and understanding when we're reading the word. Okay. Chapter 1, page 20 in our book. This book is based upon the Bible and Torah, first five books of the Bible, as well as upon the history of African, Islamic, European, African-American, and Christian historians to help us acquire an accurate knowledge of people and places in the Bible. Now, when we talk about the Torah, does everyone know what the Torah is?
When I think of the Torah, I'm thinking of the written laws. Is that what it is?
Well, the laws are in it. Yes, that is correct. It's the first five books of the Bible. Yes, some would call it the law, but I'm not. The Eurocentric viewpoint will call it the law, but the meaning of the law is a little vague, or is not vague, is totally incorrect of their interpretation of it. Now, when we start off with the Bible, the first five books of the Bible is what they call the Torah.
Okay.
And when we talk about the first five books, which books are we talking about?
From Genesis, the first five, from Genesis, Exodus, those first five.
Yes. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy.
Yes.
Okay. In Genesis, it talks about the creation story. It goes over the flood. It goes over Abraham and all of them, okay, up until the time of Joseph. So it goes over those areas.
Yeah.
And Genesis is supposed to be the book of beginnings. Now, there's another book that's referred to in the Egyptian world, or in the Kemet world, is referred to as the book of beginnings. And both give the same creation story.
In whose world?
Kemet, Egypt, ancient Egypt.
Oh, Kemet.
Yes. So So what we try to do is we try to refer back to the original names versus the Greek names all the time.
Okay.
That's important because when you conquer a people, the things that you change is their gods and you change their names. So if you look throughout history, that's what you'll find. When Japan conquered different places, they changed the people's names and so forth. And they usually take away the teachers.
Okay. So Kemet is the original name, right?
Yes, Kemet. It was spelled A-M-T.
And Egypt is the European?
Yes, it's the Greek naming of it.
Greek,
yes.
Okay.
Right, which is European. Right. So, yes. And so what we try to do is try to get back our whatever we're supposed to have rather than what someone else has given to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you are, as long as you follow your conqueror, then you're a slave forever. Because you don't know who you are, where you are. All you know is what they've ever told you. As a good example would be the Japanese know who they are and their history. Is that right?
Yeah.
The Chinese. Everybody but African Americans. We don't know our real names. We don't know our real language. We don't know our real God. We don't know anything about ourselves. Is that right?
Right.
Everybody else on the planet seems to know who they are, where they've been, and what they're supposed to accomplish. And so they're able to accomplish more things than we are and be able to stick together. And because we don't know who we are, where we've been, and what we are supposed to be doing, we don't know any of that. So we're busy fighting like crabs in a barrel instead of trying to figure out what, you know, what our purpose is on the planet. So in the movie Roots, the key was that they were supposed to take from us not just our culture. We were forbidden to speak our language. We were forbidden to read and write and to get an education and to read the Bible. Now, do you have any reason why they did not want you to ever, why do people want to take away your name?
I know your name was very important back then, and it stood for a lot, but I don't know why they wanted to take it away other than to take away the history or your power of your lineages, your roots.
Yes, your roots. Because in your name was usually your God and your identity and your purpose. See, like today, under the European Western world influence, names hardly mean anything. You know, Tom, Dick, or Harry. It don't mean anything. But in the ancient world, and even in African culture today, and I'm sure in other cultures today, I'm sure in every culture today, that they names mean everything. Your name that's supposed to identify who you are, who's your creator, and what is your purpose on life, and why you were created. So once you take that from a person, then what do they have?
Money.
Nothing. They're just wanderers in a wilderness. And that's why we don't have no direction, no purpose. We can't get together because that's what we are. We have lost all of that. A good example would be with the Daniel and his three Hebrew companions. And their names were, you remember their names?
Daniel's Hebrew companions?
Yes.
That wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No.
Yes. Yes, those were their Babylonian names. We only know them as their Babylonian names, their name change. Even though the Bible gives us their Hebrew names, their original names. It's Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah. Those were their Hebrew names. Now,
sorry,
the word,
what was Hebrew names again?
Hananiah, Mishael.
Mishael?
Mishael and Azariah. All that's in the Bible.
Okay.
You turn there with me with Daniel chapter 1.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, here in verse number 6, Daniel chapter 1, can you read that for us, please?
Daniel chapter 1, verse 6?
Yes.
It says, now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah.
Azariah.
Azariah, I'm sorry.
Okay, so, okay, if you look closely at these names, okay, Daniel, okay, the last two letters of the of his name is what?
Daniel is E-L.
L. And what do you, and L would reference us back to Elohim.
Okay. L.
Right. So the name of his God was in his name.
Okay.
And when you look at Mishael, you have the same thing. And when you look at Azariah, you have you have R-I, and that deals sometimes with the Rye or the Ram, R-A. Sometimes they substitute the A and the I's and back and forth. Now, I'm not sure about Hananiah. I haven't found the key word in his. But if you look at Elisha, you have that same L in there. Is that right?
Elijah.
Elisha and Elijah. Both Elijahs. It starts off with E-L, right?
Yes, in the beginning.
Right. So there you have Elohim in their names. So when they change their names over, they now reference them to their gods, the gods of whoever conquered you, rather than the God of creation, who you were originally worshiping. So that's one thing. So that's why we were given different names for that purpose. Also, in the name, it's supposed to mean something. It's supposed to have a deep meaning. And it's supposed to be based on your heritage. And that's why in the Bible you read about naming ceremonies. You remember any times anybody be having naming ceremonies?
No, but I do remember, I remember Jacob's name being changed, not in a ceremony, but.
Okay, what was his name from, changed from? God
changed his name from Jacob to Israel.
Okay.
And,
let me make a point here. There's, somebody had mentioned that when you look at the word Israel, if you slow it down, there's a question that's being asked. The question is Ra Elohim.
How did you get that out of that?
Is? Okay, how do you spell Israel?
Israel.
Yep, how do you spell it?
I spell it.
I-S.
R-E-A-L.
Right. So R-S is the word is, right?
Uh-huh. I-S.
L is for Elohim, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is Ra Elohim. Do you see it now?
I don't see the Elohim.
L is short for Elohim.
Oh, okay.
Remember we talked about that with Daniel and Mishael and Elijah? So, yes. So, whenever you see L, that means Elohim for short. Some places in the Bible you'll see Yah, Y-A, which is for Yahweh.
Okay.
So you'll see sometimes they're abbreviated shorts, okay, so that you can know what's going on. Okay, so also some people's had naming ceremony was John the Baptist and Yeshua. You remember the story with John the Baptist and that story? Do you remember that?
What happened in that story, John the Baptist? What part of it do you want me to?
Okay. In John the Baptist story, that the angel came to his dad, Zechariah, when he was lighting the candles in the sanctuary or burning the incense in the sanctuary. I think it was burning the incense. And he told him that he was going to have a son, and he didn't believe it. And so he said, because you doubt that you'll be dumb until the son is born.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, so then later on when the son is being born at the naming ceremony, this was at his naming ceremony, they asked, what is his name? And his mom, Elizabeth, said his name is John. And they said that there's nobody in your family that's named John, so... So then they asked the dad and gave him a writing tablet. And he wrote John is his name, and then his mouth was loosed at the naming ceremony to prophesy and to talk about what he was shown. Okay, so that was done at a naming ceremony.
Okay. Now, would Yahweh be the same with Mary?
Would Yahweh be the same with Mary, you said?
Yes, when Mary, when the Holy Spirit told Mary that she was going to have a child, and his name would be Yahshua.
Okay. The naming ceremony is usually at this time of circumcision and usually at the time of dedication. So the naming ceremony for him was, if I'm correct, I think when Hannah and Simeon came in, when they brought him to the temple to dedicate him,
mm-hmm.
You remember that incident?
When they came to dedicate him. When Jesus was born? Or
He was born, but like I said, you usually have, he's not named then, he's named after that. So usually
right.
You have 7 days to circumcise the son, and you dedicate him. And
yes.
I believe that's done at the same time. And so they came into the temple, and they were in the temple when Hannah and Simeon, they were the prophet and the prophetess at that time. Did you familiar with that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So when they came to do that at the dedication, then they prophesied it over him. And that was there again, another naming ceremony.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, that the Bible brings out. So that's why I said the naming of the children and all of those things were very important in those days. And still is today. It's just that people who have lost their heritage and lost their identity and lost their purpose in life do not have one. And so people would like to keep them that way, keep them in darkness so that they don't have a purpose and a direction in life. And so that's what we are here and born to do. So that's why African Americans usually don't have a clear direction or purpose of what we should be doing, what we are doing. We're just busy copying, following the slave, our slave master. So as long as we're following him, he has us in checkmate. And so that's why we usually don't have no clear direction. Okay, so that's another example of names and how they have a direct bearing on yourself. And as time today, most African Americans cannot tell you who they are, where they came from, and what are they, except from a European standpoint. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they know that as long as we can never figure out who we are, where we've been, and what we're supposed to be doing, then we will just be wandering in the wilderness following our slave master wherever he leads us. And that's where we are. And most people don't have that in other cultures. Indian culture, Chinese culture, Native American culture, you know, anyone. They all have their own names, their own identity. Even most of them have their own dress code. So we don't have that. And so this is some of the reasonings or points that's going on. So when we talk about the first five books of the Bible, when we're talking about Genesis, that's the books of beginning. That's what Genesis means, the books of beginning, the beginning. And like I said, it correlated with the same creation story that is in the ancient Egyptian writings. Basically, they're almost exactly the same. I compare the verse by verse of what we're given in Genesis to some ancient Egyptian writings, and they're exactly the same. And one time we'll go over that. But in the beginning, so Genesis has the first book, which deals with the beginning and the flood and all of those different things before the flood and so forth. So we want to be able to identify who were these people that were before the flood. And where did they live and what was going on and that type of thing. Now, and then you have Genesis and then you have the book of Exodus, right?
Yes.
In the book of Exodus, that's when they actually, when we leave Egypt and we go out to establish the land of Canaan, but we wind up getting caught up in, as you would say, in the In the wilderness for 40 years. And the Bible talks about that wandering and all of that and the problems that happen, which is a parallel to today. Is today, how many of us have really left our slavery that we had in America? Or do we still follow master and with no clear direction and purpose? So these are questions that have to be addressed and looked at and pondered by every individual so that we can redefine our purpose and direction here on planet Earth with the little bit of time we have left. Inside of the Exodus, we find out that they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And why, do you remember why they wandered for 40 years?
They were disobedient. They were disobedient.
Okay. Sounds like us today, don't it?
Yes.
Okay. Are we repeating the sins of our forefathers?
Yes, we are.
Okay. So we should be learning from them. That would be our hope, that we would one day learn from what is written in the Bible. The Bible said these were written for our example and our admonitions unto the end of the earth. That means if we study them, we should be seeing some parallels and hopefully try to pull out. Now, the Bible says that a generation, 40 years there in the wilderness, and that he said that he would kill off everybody who was 20 years and older, or as we might call them, 21 and older adults, because the adults are the ones that rebelled, and they said that Yahweh had led them out into the wilderness to kill them and their children. And Yahweh said, okay, since you believe that you're going to die and your children are going to die in the wilderness, your children will inherit the promised land and you will not. So during that time frame, there was many rebellions against Moses, against Aaron, against Miriam, against everybody. Everybody, there was many rebellions the Bible talks about. Now, the key is, because that generation died off, when we quote-unquote got our civil rights, how long ago do you think that was?
When we got our civil rights?
Yeah, you know, the civil rights movement.
That hasn't been that long, maybe 150 years.
No, not Emancipation Paskin, not Abraham Lincoln. We're talking about King and the civil rights movement.
Oh. Martin Luther King?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, because I know, I was born in 59 and I was 10 when he died, so that hasn't been that long ago. It's about 40.
Okay, what year did you say he died?
Probably, because I was, let's see. It had to be '68, '69.
Okay, so in the late 60s, we're talking about that we're fighting for our rights in the 60s and in the 50s and all of those things. Tillman. So during that time frame, we're talking about, okay, if we're talking about the end of the 60s, then 40 years will put us around what?
40 years?
Yes.
It will put us now, 2000.
Yep, 2008, somewhere around there, as you said, if we're talking about 68, 40 years would be 2008. So we're like 3 years over. So at the end of the 2000s. Okay, so now the question is, that generation is going to have to die off, those who were adults and stuff, so that this other generation can go into the promised land. That's a parallel.
I get it.
You can make a parallel like that.
Yeah, that's like 40 years.
Yep, that is correct. So the question is, have we really gotten free? Or are we still miseducated and programmed to do things that are not benefiting us, but is benefiting another group? So the question is this next generation, okay? So we're talking about everybody who's under 20. So you were 10, so I would assume that you would be part of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That is to take the promised land. So are you ready to take it?
I'm ready to take it.
All right, good. And that's what we need. We need people within our generation who are ready to move on and take the land, because that's what
yeah.
it took. We have to obey Yahweh to take the land. And so we find ourselves at this generation, because the next generation seems, they call them Generation X and all these other things. It seems like these generations don't have nothing on their mind. And we are to be the ones to lead them to the promised land. They're looking for direction, but they know they don't want the direction that has been going on. They do not like
right.
what's been going on. And they're not dumb. They're not idiots. And because they're not pacified by the generations that were before us to be pacified of what's going on, then, you know, they're labeled as, you know, not good. But they have, once they are educated and once they really know the truth, I believe that these people will be ready to stand up and do what is right. And
right.
to take the land. So that's how I see it. But, you know, that's just Emmanuel's opinion.
Oh, that's
but
a good opinion.
Comparing it to what Scripture has said in the past.
Okay.
And that's why we need to look at it, or that's how I try to compare it. Then we talk about after the Exodus is Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And then those books, that's when Yahweh lists to us this new nation that was formed, this new nation that had come out of slavery, that is now being born, that it needs laws, it needs directions, it needs purpose, it needs all of those different things. And so Yahweh has given to them a prophet, Moses also called the historian, person who wrote the legislation and, you know, all type of different things. He was gifted in many areas that Yahweh had blessed him in to write all of this information or put this together, or as some would say, others put it together. However, these first five books are referencing that. So to have a nation, you need to have laws that people abide by, right?
Yes.
In America, we have laws. So do we throw out the laws of America because the time has went on? No, otherwise you wouldn't have any structure to anything. So in today's society, we have things that are called statutes. You familiar with them?
Statutes and limitations.
Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. And judgments. We have judgments also, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Called justice.
And I don't know, we have things that are called covenants, which is what some would call testimonies. So all the things that Yahweh has given to us, we have them under these different names every society has. Did you ever look at it from that perspective before?
No, I haven't.
Right. Most the Europeans would have us think that the laws or the things that Yahweh has laid down and given to us do not exist today. No, they exist in every society. But to keep us thrown off from what we should be doing, they have made it as if, you know, these are special laws that Yahweh had thrown away after a certain dispensation, as they call it. And they divide everything up into segments as dispensations rather as everything flowing together to make one union. So, give you a good example would be when we talk about the health laws. Okay? It talks about
yeah.
staying away from unclean animals. Okay? Now, does those laws exist as health laws today? Do they?
Do they exist to tell us to stay away from it? No.
Let's try to backtrack this. Okay, these laws that Yahweh has made, he made the entire universe, right?
Uh-huh.
So he wrote down inside, it's just like us buying a new car. We buy a new car, and then you get a manual with it, right?
Yeah.
The manual tells you how to maintain and to keep your car in best operating condition. Because you got that from the manufacturer, the creator of that thing. And so if you decide that, hey, I'm going to throw the manual out, which we call the Bible today, because we have a manual for our lives called the Bible. If we take that that manual and throw it out, then what do you have? Well, you can put the oil in the, you can put gas inside the oil if you want. You can put oil inside of your gas container. You don't have to follow anything. You can put it in the radiator. Right? I mean, you can violate all the laws, as some would quote unquote call them. And who's gonna suffer? Your car?
Yes.
Most definitely. Okay? So the same thing, the creator who created us gave us a manual for our bodies and how to keep the planet and how to live and how to exist and how to treat one another. And so we've decided that, hey, that stuff is the law, and we're going to throw all that stuff out. And we're going to live under a new law, do what you want, do what you think. And so that is very dangerous. It's just like us putting oil inside of, you know, inside of the radiator, which we know is not going to work.
Right.
So basically what we did was shortcut what the Creator has made for us as a blessing and turned it into a curse.
Right.
Now, an example would be real simple. Today, when you get high blood pressure and diabetes and you get old, what do the doctors tell you to take out of your diet?
Pork.
Straight up.
Salt and salt.
Okay. Now, did the Bible tell us to take pork out of our diet?
Well, yeah, it says don't eat the swine.
Okay. So so that's what I'm saying. The health laws that Yahweh has given us is valid forever. They're not for a time. They are just laws that exist. And even today, the doctors who don't know much of nothing compared to what Yahweh knew has told us, you know, hey, when you get old, hey, you want to live a little longer, you got to cut that pork out of your life. And then we ask the question, why do we have to let the doctor tell us what Yahweh has already told us? Does that make sense?
Isn't that because the world has given us these rules that, you know, they basically threw out the Bible and they've made everything wrong, right? You know, they basically said it's okay to eat these things. Okay, if you get sick, stop eating it. But it's the same thing as they know the right thing, but they don't really want to go by unless you get sick from it or something.
Well, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church.
Okay.
Because the world, we're not expecting them to follow Yahweh's book, you know, if they don't believe it. I mean, so we're only talking about those who believe or who say they believe and who are supposed to be teaching the teachings of the book.
Okay.
Right, so why do they, those are the ones I'm talking about, are willing to obey man, the doctor, before they obey Yahweh? And then say that Yahweh's stuff was done away with. But at the same time, if it was done away with, why are you still getting sick eating the pork? Or all the unclean animals that he has forbidden us to eat? So which one has the superior statutes and judgment and health laws? Today's society or Yahweh's biblical writings? Is anything in the Bible outdated?
No. It's still good for today.
So why do we teach that they aren't?
Because we don't want to obey the truth.
Yep, that can be a reason why.
We only want to live We want to pick out of the Bible what we want to live by. And in everything that we don't want to obey, we either say we don't follow it or it doesn't exist.
Okay, good point. But we're not talking about the common person. We're talking about the people.
No, I'm talking about Christians.
Okay, we're not even talking about Christians. We're talking about leadership.
Yeah, that too.
Because only leadership is what tells the people. The people are ignorant.
That's right. I agree. That's where it starts.
You can't blame the people for, you know.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, that's not what his job. And the Bible says that the blind lead the blind, and they both fall into the ditch.
This is true. I agree.
Okay, so my point is that when people tell us that these dispensations, I don't believe any of that stuff. That's not biblical, first of all. And they have created this theory in the 1600s when they wiped out all of the African contributions that went into the Bible. So to cover it up, they made up all these other ones and threw out all the important stuff to create a new type of what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 24. You remember what Matthew 24 said for?
Matthew 24?
Yep, verse 4. I believe it's verse 4.
But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Okay, are you reading Matthew 24?
No, verse I four? Thought you said 4.
Chapter 24, verse 4.
Chapter 24, verse 4. Sorry about that, Professor. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you.
All right, so what is he saying here?
He's telling us to be aware that we don't be deceived by this, because there are deceivers out there, false prophets, so don't, you know, be aware of that.
And who's he talking to? The world or the church?
The church, definitely.
And so why would he tell the church not to be deceived? Who will be trying to deceive the church?
The church will be trying to deceive itself.
The church trying to deceive a church or a group. It says, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in the name of Jesus or Christ, saying that Jesus is the Christ, and shall deceive many. So, what is that telling us here in this verse?
That's telling us that we're going to have false teachers. And if we don't know the word for ourselves, we're going to be deceived.
Deceived by who?
By the false teachers and false prophets that's going to be teaching.
Teaching where?
In the churches.
Okay. My understanding is they will be running the curriculum and the head of all the denominations, or many of the denominations, or the top leaders, or whatever they want to call themselves. In the ancient world, remember, in the 1500s, what happened?
In the 1500s, that's when they wiped out the Moors.
Okay, 1492 was the last Moor that they kicked out of Europe. And all they rewrote history and rewrote everything to put the Europeans in charge of all biblical writings and everything. They were hiding and destroying all evidence of African contribution. So if the African Foundation was the foundation of the Bible, if you throw them out, what do you have?
The European version.
Right, which is nothing. Because once you throw out the foundation, whatever you build is false.
Right.
And so that's what we've been stuck with. When you look at all the denominations, most of them, that who's always at the top? The Europeans.
Right.
Okay, and they're the same ones who brought in America, the American slave trade. Wasn't it the church? When they went to Rome, when they went and they conquered the New World, that was Columbus, and then were doing it for the Pope and for the King of England. Their job was to go around the world and be able to get all the gold and silver and bring it back to the church, right?
Right.
So in the Crusades and all of this murder and massing, I mean, this is what the church has been doing over the years under the name of Christianity. That's what he's saying in Matthew 24. And we missed
right.
that. So the point is, what I'm saying is that when we get to the top of it, doesn't matter if it's your school curriculum, it's your church Sunday school, your church Sabbath school lessons, it don't matter. Most of them are always run from a European viewpoint, and the same people who have wiped out the foundation. The foundation, which is, as we read before, is of African roots. Once you wipe it out and whatever you replace it with is counterfeit. And so when we're talking about most of the writings and so forth and commentaries, all of those commentaries were written in the 1500s when everybody was writing and saying that, you know, that the blacks were cursed and we turned black and, you know, the curse of Ham and, you know, all of these myths and things that are going on and that it's all right to enslave blacks. And then, you know, you had the KKK, do you know what the KKK was created for?
No, what's that?
In this book, it's called the Dogmas, Morals and Dogmas by Albert Pike. He wrote this for the Masons, and he was a general of the South, and the key was that he was commissioned to create the KKK to be the army of the South to keep everybody in check. And did you know that they believed in, you know, in God, that they built all of this stuff on God, segregation, the Jim Crow laws, all of those were built on the principles of what they call Christianity today.
Right. That's what they still do today.
It was all run by the church. This was one nation under God. The question was, what God were we under?
Right.
But no one questions that because the people who ran it, and you quote and you teach, you're teaching the same things. You're teaching those same foundations and biblical teachings that I believe are off, that are not teaching what, you know, we should be teaching because we throw out a lot of the ancient texts, which is the Old Testament. And a lot of the ancient texts in the Old Testament is nothing but if you go to Africa, you'll see them practiced every day. So that if you ever caught on realizing that these same people are practicing the same thing that's written in the Bible, then you might wake up to realize that, hey, I think we're off some. And so when we go through and as we study, we're going to find out that the laws, a lot of the laws, we're not saying all the laws, because there are different types of laws. There's ceremonial laws. There's laws of sacrifices. No one's saying the laws of sacrifices are valid today, but many of the laws that have to do with our daily life and liberty and so forth are all the laws that we still try to practice today under the Western world. But we throw them out in the church. And so, like you said, the unclean animals, yes, that is one aspect that's clearly spelled out in the Bible. And if you stick to what the Bible said in reference to your diet, then you wouldn't be getting a lot of these diseases and so forth. And so when we go through the Bible, we'll be able to see some of that a little clearer. And so we have to. So when they refer to that the first five books or the Torah is the law, they're talking about a law that they want to throw out. And mine is, no, those are the, I wouldn't call them laws. These are the laws of nature, the laws that Yahweh has put in order everyone on the planet. So as long as everyone on the planet is following these laws or following these practices, as an example, the health laws, quote-unquote, the clean and unclean animals, which we are referring to at the moment, yes, those particular ones are being practiced today. Goodbye.
Hello?
Yes. And so we have to keep that in mind. Okay, so as we study and as we read about the Torah, the first five books, or the books of the law, whatever people want to refer to these as, we're going to be looking at them as laws that exist in every society that is being practiced. So that becomes very important to us as we look at these things. Okay, is there any questions in reference to that?
I just wanted to know, when you were saying about the good meats versus the bad meats, so there are, you know, I was kind of confused about that, because if there's good meat, does that mean the good meat is the meat you're supposed to eat, or are you not supposed to eat no meat at all?
Okay, you can call it good meat. The Bible calls them clean and unclean animals.
Right, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
No problem. Okay. When we talk about the clean and unclean animals, well, let's do this. We started around 50 minutes ago. Let's take a 15-minute break, and it's right now 2:25. Let's get back together at 2:45, because I need to save what we just recorded. And we try to keep it under an hour of recording.
Okay.
Okay. Now, anybody else anyone else tapped in? I heard the phone ring, a bell ring. Anybody else besides Catherine is on the line?
Valerie.
Okay. Good. I thought I heard Valerie. Good. Okay, Valerie. We're gonna come back at 1:45. Okay, which would be around 15 minutes from now, 15, 20 minutes. Okay?
Okay.
We'll have everybody get back online.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Right, Yahweh bless.
Thank you.